Mini episode 69 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by DOU Productions, delivering coverage of sports and pop culture through columns, live blogs, and original videos. Follow them on the web at generationshatter.blogspot.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody, it's FDH Lounge mini episode 69, so cue your inner Beavis and Buttheads and have a little chuckle at that one here. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, appropriately enough, when we're talking Beavis.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, Beavis and Butthead, I could think of a lot of people that would associate you and I with that, perhaps.
Okay.
That
okay,
level
fair
of sense
enough.
Of humor yeah. here. So, mini episode 69, breaking down the NFL. We've got Championship Sunday this weekend, one of my favorite days of the year. I always say, Kyle, that it's a thing where, for the true football fans, I mean, okay, probably nothing's better than the Super Bowl, but for our true football fans, hardcore football fans, I say Championship Sunday is just about right there. You got two games for the price of one. They're really high-impact games. It's for the right to go to the Super Bowl. I revere Championship Sunday.
I have a good friend who told me the exact same thing mm-hmm. a few days ago, and I see the point. The Super Bowl's really, except for the players and teams involved.
Yeah.
It's not really about the game. It's more of an event. You know,
right.
you get people who
right.
maybe it's the only football game they watch all year.
Oh, those people.
Yeah, yeah,
oh.
those. Well, hey, you know, whatever.
They're at my Super Bowl party every year.
Yeah, I'm not going to cast aspersions on anybody. This, you're right, these are just two football games.
Right.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Right.
Two very important football games
yes.
for the four teams involved. But you're when, you know, with the hype, the Super Bowl takes on a life of itself.
Right.
It's not just a football game. These two things ultimately are just football games.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, and they're going to be two very good football games, I believe.
They're going to be.
You know, as is we almost for the first time, you know, mm-hmm. until the last divisional round game, almost for the first time in years had the four teams that came in with the byes all qualify. That hasn't happened in a very long time. Almost did, but, you know, we finally had a big upset and a road team win with the Giants.
Very close to that, yeah. We'll get to that in the NFC, the triumph of the hipsters here, all the hipsters that...
It was a trendy pick.
You think those Packers are good. I bet you, here's a team you never heard of, the Giants.
I'll be honest, though. You know, I thought it was a little overplayed. Oh, this reminds me of 07.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that whole angle... But it's tough to argue when you see what they're... I mean, they are playing fantastic. There was an argument to be made that their receiving core is, in fact, better than the Packers.
Yeah, I could see
on
that.
On the four deep, probably no. But two deep, no one has two better receivers than the Giants starting receivers right now.
Yeah, with Cruz and Manningham.
Knicks. Yeah,
not,
I mean, unless if somebody can correct me here, and, you know,
no.
I'm looking around. You know,
I don't see anybody either. Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I don't, you know, I don't know if anyone can beat that. They're a hot team, and... I suspect they will be a live dog again come Sunday.
I think they're going to be. You and I will be breaking that down here. But the first game on Sunday, and as I said to you off air, I like when this happens. I like to get the game out of the way that I'm anticipating less. This should be like a pro wrestling card where we're building to the main event here. And the undercard, as it were, on Sunday, if CBS has got this, Baltimore at New England. And very interestingly, you and I have been doing these here. We've been getting together, talking the gridiron here once a month from the start of the season going on through. Interestingly enough, the whole way through, I've been consistent in saying New England. You've been consistent in saying Baltimore.
Well, hold on. In full candor, I'd love to escape with you saying that.
Oh, that's
I did
right.
have the Jets
your
early
initial.
On and then
okay.
completely jump ship and, you know, later
like
on.
Mid-season, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then I went to Baltimore just
okay.
because New Wait. England, and it, can we get in, can I get into this
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Having watched the Packers unravel
mm-hmm.
last week at home, granted they were, you know, the old rest versus rust argument I think
sure.
comes into play, and the Giants certainly are playing better than Baltimore is right now.
Right.
But the Patriots, like the Packers, great elite all-time quarterback, terrible defense.
Yeah.
And does that eventually catch up with them like it did the Packers? Now, the big $20,000 question here is, does Baltimore have the offense to exploit a bad defense? Denver certainly did not mm-hmm. last week. By the way, New England, here's the other cause for concern if you're a Patriots fan, and this just came to my attention this week, shame on me. They've only beaten one playoff team all season, Denver, twice.
Okay.
So, you have Baltimore, I believe 7-0 against teams that made the playoffs. And, you know, as a handicapper, I like the points in this game. I'm not saying Baltimore's going to win outright.
Okay.
Because I don't think they will. But closer than the odds makers expect, I think. Baltimore's a team that does not. If you look at the last two or three years, Ricky, they don't lose by a – when they lose, yeah, they've thrown up some real stinkers. You know, the Jacksonville game this year comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Seattle, I think they went up to Seattle and, you know, lost. But they don't lose badly a lot. When they lose, it's close. And I think if they can – remember, they went up to Foxborough a couple years ago in the playoffs. I remember watching – and it was one of those games that was just over before it started. Baltimore scored on the first play. Ray Rice took it to the house, and it was just over. I mean, Brady never recovered. Wes Welker, I don't think, played that game, if memory serves me correct.
That's the amazing thing, is that New England, that prior to last week, the last playoff game that they had won – was the game that made them 18-0, the AFC Championship game for the 2007 season.
Where LT quit and Philip Rivers came in and tried to be a hero.
Yeah, where Philip Rivers and his dime store John Wayne routine, his failure to yield to the best quarterback nobody's ever heard of, Billy Volek, to come in and save the day against
Chad
New England.
Chad Repak's 06 fantasy championship team right now is thanking you, but give me a break.
Yeah, Billy, I just wanted to throw that in because I know you think Billy Volek is like the hipster's dream. But that was the last game they had won. Very interesting when you look at the last couple of seasons here, ignominious playoff losses for the Patriots, and the Baltimore one certainly comes to mind.
Here's the thing, too, and we're going to get to this. You know, we're going to do two different subjects today,
sure,
Ricky, and just to, you know, not to confuse anyone, but mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about the non-playoff teams later on today.
Sure.
And I look forward to doing that as much as I look forward to doing this. And it's so interesting that I don't know when this became so in vogue to do. I think mm-hmm. it's kind of lazy analysis in most regards.
Mm-hmm.
When you find a team that consistently gets to this level, their quarterback is not a Pro Bowl type guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he gets in there once or twice, you know, due to injury or whatever. But Joe Flacco, like, why is he being killed like he's being killed? You know, like, the same thing's true with Sanchez and Tebow. And look, I know all three of these guys have their shortcomings. I know none of them are ever going to be Tom Brady. None of them are going to be Aaron Rodgers. They're probably not ever going to be Eli Manning.
People are piling on Matty Ice also, too.
That's deserved. And we'll get to that later.
Okay.
Because I'm one of those people. That's deserved.
Okay.
But these guys, I mean, Joe Flacco, do you realize, not only has he been in the playoffs all 4 years, mm-hmm. has won a playoff game all 4 years. I mean, he's never won it all, and ultimately that's what you're determined on, I guess, fair or not. But, I mean, name the list of quarterbacks who have won a playoff game the last 4 years. Tom Brady's not on that list. Aaron Rodgers is not on that list.
That's true. He's an above-average quarterback, and he does not. Again, Ray Rice is an all-world weapon that he has on that offense, but name me anybody at this point in time that's even markedly above average. Torrey Smith's had a pretty nice year, but we haven't seen enough of him to say that he's
one
real.
Of those guys that, and in fantasy football guys, that like when he has a big game, it's like three catches for 120 yards because he caught like a 70-yard touchdown.
Sure.
Yeah, Anquan Boldin's been a pretty big disappointment. I remember he had that one game where he toasted your buddy Eric Wright three times early last year. But since then, he's been persona non grata.
He's a rich man's Alvin Harper.
Yes, I like that.
Getting paid as a one, but
I love when you make this point.
When you saw him in Arizona, how much did he ever stretch the D? You bring in a number one to stretch the D. Lee Evans has not been what he was his early years in Buffalo. I can go on down the list here. Todd Heap was an overrated pant load. Joe Flacco has not had elite weapons to work with there. I think he's been an above-average quarterback. Not great, but yeah, I mean, since when do we start abusing guys for
like,
being above
if
average?
You're not like, it seems now that if you're not one of the four or five elite quarterbacks, you stink.
Right.
And it's all your fault why the team
lost.
And I understand that quarterbacks get too much praise when a team wins, and they get too much blame when the team loses.
Right.
That's just the game, man.
Sure.
It's just the way it is. I mean, I'm not going to complain. It's just the way it is.
Right.
But to me, if Baltimore loses this game, and I could be wrong, Joe Flacco could go out and stink. He could throw four interceptions and just stink. But, you know, I don't know if they'll necessarily lose because of Joe Flacco. I think if Baltimore were to lose this game and look bad, it would be because Brady lights up the Ravens' defense.
Sure.
Right? I mean, it's not...
I think so.
You know, I mean, look, Baltimore's not going to win a shootout with New England.
No.
A few teams will.
Right.
I mean, you know, so I to me, again, by the way, Ravens, not only perfect against playoff teams, 5-0-1 against the number against playoff teams this year. So 7.5, it's a half point over that key number of 7. You know,
yeah.
you lose by a touchdown, you still cover. I like the Ravens plus the points in this game, but I think they come up a little bit short.
I think they're going to lose by a little bit more than that. I'm going to say something
along...
You're
laying the points.
Yeah,
You're laying the points.
I would.
Okay.
I'm going to say something... And I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think it's going to be a solid win. I'm going to say something along the lines of 31-16. I think the Ravens kick enough field goals to stay in it. I can see, even against the Baltimore defense, I can see Brady probably hanging 30 on them.
Should Baltimore go goon and just try to hurt Brady?
That would probably be the best way to do it. Yeah,
like just,
I mean,
because
frankly.
You know, I mean, they talk. There's the Brady rules. They always
right.
talk about you can't hit them. Well, it's the playoffs. I mean, I'm not advocating they do this. Don't they just send somebody and just try to knock him on his arse and just hurt him?
Do they have anybody as big as Siragusa who can reprise
yes,
breaking
the Rich
his shoulder?
Yeah, the Rich Gannon. Yeah, the 2000 AFC title game. Why? Yeah, I mean, granted, the rules were not quite as stringent as they are now against quarterbacks, and Rich Gannon certainly does not get the sort of respect from the zebras that Tom Brady does. But that's what you got to do. If you can remember the Jets last year, they don't even need to hurt him. Okay,
right.
I'm not saying that. But the Jets last year were very physical. They jammed the Patriots up. That's what they need to be paying attention to, the Ravens, is how the Jets beat the Patriots last year, because the Broncos were incapable of doing that. Okay, anyone thinks differently? Okay, the Broncos defense is pretty good, but they're not an elite level defense.
No.
So the Ravens, hey, this just in, they have a very similar defense to the Jets. They can do the same things, and if they can't, they can steal this game. I really think they can steal this game. I think they're going to be a lot more competitive than you think. But New England in Foxborough, this New England to me, well, both teams for this matter.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't this kind of feel like their final run for both teams?
It's late in the day.
You know, I mean, Baltimore, look, my model says it's very difficult to make the playoffs 4 years in a row.
Right.
And it just doesn't happen a lot. I mean, granted, there are, you know, your Patriots, your Colts, your Steelers have proven this wrong through
sure.
the years, even though the Steelers have had always have kind of that one-off year.
Right.
But when I look at the Patriots right now, they remind me of they're like a Tom Brady injury away from being like the Colts this year to me. When I look now, they have a much better coach than the Colts did, okay?
Right.
I'm not denying that. And I know the 1 year Brady got hurt, they still went 11-5 with Matt Castle.
Right.
But to me, I just don't like the personnel around Brady. Although, I mean, the two tight ends they got in are great, and they give him certainly a different look.
I'm gonna start what I say here by saying that it's amazing that I do not have this knowledge, because I'm a big football nerd. I prefer to say, I think for folks that say...
You seem like you were very busy trying to figure something out.
I was looking at this here. I'm a huge football nerd. I prefer a self-deprecating word like nerd to expert, but I love football and I am immersed in it as I am many other subjects in life. And I'm setting this up to tell you, I've literally never heard of this man in my life. I looked at the Patriots roster. Some third-year guy out of Michigan State named Brian Hoyer is their second-string quarterback. I've literally never heard of Brian Hoyer in my life.
You don't know Brian Hoyer? He's actually from right down the road, North Olmsted.
Okay, no,
And they have Ryan Mallett, too.
They have Ryan. I'm assuming Mallett's the third string at this point. But
yeah.
I have never heard of Brian Hoyer.
Really?
Never.
Right down the road. He used to be my neighbor.
And I hardly ever say that about anybody. I've never heard of Brian Hoyer. I mean, it's remarkable for me to admit that. So that shows you how screwed they're going to be if anybody takes off Brady.
Matt Castle
doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah. And here's the thing. Brady, in that playoff game a couple years ago, just had 100. Again, he didn't have Wes Welker. Just 154 yards passing through three picks.
Okay.
Brady is they only happen once in a blue moon.
Right.
Happened against Buffalo, if you remember. Back in week three,
he
threw 40. He's not immune to those kind of games. If Baltimore's physical, they can't make mistakes. They were +4. Now, there were a couple of things that were kind of shaky from last week's win over Houston.
Right.
You think they should, and now you and I are both big on Houston for next year.
Sure.
And I think a lot of people are going to be. I think Houston, you know, always kind of a trendy pick every year.
Yep.
I mean, I think a lot of people are prepared to take the next leap with Houston.
Yeah.
But more on that
this
later
on. This
is
the year that the Grog Shop becomes a 20,000 seat concert arena.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. Very nice. Now you're doing it. But they were plus +4 in turnover margin last week. Obviously, when you have a plus, it's tough. You know,
sure.
San Francisco almost gagged
right.
last week against New Orleans with that kind of turnover margin.
Right.
But what's interesting is no one's criticizing them for the same thing, I guess because they played New Orleans.
Right.
But if they can win the turnover battle, they can be physical. The Ravens can win this game. I think everyone is just kind of giving the Patriots a free pass. And it just seems that the narrative, and it's such a lazy narrative, Brady over Flacco. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is that easy, because at the end of the day, elite level quarterbacks typically do take you to the Super Bowl. It's a lot of times it is that easy.
There's a scenario, and we'll know it early on, Kyle, for guys like me and you to watch as much football as us, and I think you're the kind of guy like me who can develop a sixth sense watching a game. If we see on the first couple possessions, it's kind of a field position game. That's the kind of thing for the Ravens. The Ravens need to dumb it down. The Ravens can win like a 17-13
And they
game.
Can't have Flacco going out there trying to tit for tat
no.
with Brady. When he throws like 40 times,
yeah.
I don't know who's responsible for that.
Right.
Because you've seen that happen when like Ray Rice gets like no touches.
Right.
It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Well, who's calling these
that
plays?
That can't happen.
Yeah, that can't. They can't. You're right. They've got to slow the game down. I don't know what the shame on me. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like. It's probably not going to be warm in Foxborough on Sunday.
I don't think
but
so.
I think the Ravens keep it close, but ultimately, to go back on myself, I guess it does come down to Brady over Flacco.
Yeah, well, and ultimately, I think that'll
Although
be
people
why
need to leave Joe Flacco alone.
Why they win. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I this was maybe about 2 months ago, give or take, when we were doing this, when I said to you, there's a team in the AFC that nobody talks about as being a gagger, but I pointed out that it's only been Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and the Patriots in the last several years that have made the Super Bowl. The Ravens have been there. But the Ravens have never gotten any heat for it. And this is going to be their second go-round in the AFC Championship game, I think, in 3 years, or maybe it's 4 years, whatever it is. But regardless, if they lose this one, is this where, with the pre-existing hate that's building up for Flacco, does it start to come at them here that you guys can't convert?
Yeah, I think, especially if he plays bad, it's going
okay.
to. I guess, you know, he does need – if he plays poorly here, it's going to get worse for him.
Okay.
And I feel bad because I just don't think that's fair.
I don't think it is
either.
But
you're right because – now, here's the thing. Before last week, keep in mind, I can't label any of Baltimore's three previous playoff appearances with Flacco as choke jobs because I don't think anyone
right.
had them, you know, at the start of the playoffs winning the AFC. The last time they were in the AFC Championship game, they played Pittsburgh. They lost. It was the third time they'd played them, and they lost. They've lost to Pittsburgh, I believe, in the playoffs. What, two of the last 3 years? I think
I
it
believe
is
so. Yeah.
I mean, let me take a look at this real quick. Okay. Yeah. Last year they lost in the divisional round at Pittsburgh, a game they led. If you remember, Roethlisberger made a big throw late in that game on a third and a mile.
Yeah.
He converted, and Pittsburgh stole. They came. They stormed back, won that game, 31-24. 2 years ago. They went up to Indianapolis and lost 20-3. Not this year's Colts. Okay, that's a Peyton Manning Indianapolis
right.
Colts team. Again, and that was after upsetting New England the week previous.
Yeah.
Okay. On the road.
Yeah, they came off flat.
2 years ago, they upset the top-seeded team in the AFC. That year, Tennessee. Remember that great run they had with Kerry Collins?
Right.
They went there and upset them in the divisional round, lost to Pittsburgh in the AFC. So even this year, they're not really favored.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're the team to beat. I mean, I guess
the question's going to arise, though. When are they going to be the team to beat?
But that's so, like, to me, if we're judging, like, when are you, like, you're not the team to beat, or you stink, that's such a black and white lazy.
They're 12-4. They've been building for a couple of years. I mean, like you said, the window, especially when you look at the defense, how much longer
okay,
is
well,
the window
how about
open?
This, by the way?
Uh-huh.
If New, on the flip side, let me turn this argument on itself.
Okay.
If New England loses
yeah.
Sunday, isn't that a far bigger gag? Because that means if they lose, okay, that means they still have one playoff win since the aforementioned San Diego game, which we like to kid about. And that one playoff win was against Tim Tebow in Denver.
If that happens.
Isn't that a fart? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
like to me, here's what I see happening. New England beats Baltimore, everyone kills Flacco.
I think so.
Okay.
That's the likeliest scenario.
Well, if Baltimore beats New England, shouldn't, like, what's the narrative then? That's what I'm very interested in. Are people going to kill Brady? Are people going to kill Belichick?
You're going to find people putting a bracket on the Patriots era retroactively at 2007, going into that Super Bowl against the Giants. People are going to say one playoff win since then.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. To me, it's funny how all the pressure is on Baltimore
right
now, it seems, when in reality, New England is the team that certainly would be a far bigger gag for them if they lose.
Right. Well, and
Baltimore's playing with house money, as far as I'm concerned.
They kind of are. And it's interesting and it's instructive. Before we flip to the NFC game and talk about that, I use this as kind of a segue here. It's kind of a throwback to the 80s with it being the Giants and the Niners. But you remember, they played in the NFC Championship game for the 1990 season. And it's a thing where, but both of those teams were fairly late in the day of their 1980s runs. These decade things, it's weird, but it does happen in football. The Ravens and Patriots are two of the AFC teams of the last decade. The Patriots being the team, the Ravens being probably the fourth team behind the aforementioned Steelers and Colts. So it's a thing where you're right to say that in 2014, 2015, whatever, we're probably not going to see these teams back in this game.
But
they're both
the
late in that run.
Here's the thing. Well, it's different because Flacco's so much younger than Brady, that at the quarterback position, they're younger, but the defense. The thing with the Ravens is the defense, I think people have been asking this for now for a couple of years.
Yeah.
The defense is about ready to kind of fall off, could fall off a cliff.
Right.
Ray Lewis is old, Ed Reed's old.
Yep.
They've got a lot of old key personnel there.
Yep.
So you're right. Like I said at the top, this feels like the last shot for both of these teams.
Yeah. It's going to be very
and interesting. And I just want people to be fair. If New England loses, they should get killed a lot worse than Baltimore does if they lose.
Yeah, because of the expectations. All right, so we're both saying Patriots. We're disagreeing.
I think it'll be a little closer than you, though.
Okay. I'm going to say, I think, 31-16. Looking at the NFC game, the Giants and the 49ers, for a lot of folks like myself who predicted and, quite frankly, really wanted the excitement of Packers-Saints, again, this is still, to me, a better game than the AFC game, not least of which because of the way that the 49ers performed offensively on Saturday. By the way, good friend of the show, Kenny Albert, who we've had on three times, hoping to get him back on in the next couple weeks here. My God, the game of the playoffs thus far. I mean, I knew he was going to be calling a good one, but I had no idea how good. The big surprise of that being, we all could have seen a scenario for San Francisco winning, but I think, again, it went back to if it's 17-13, if they dumb it down and it's one of those kind of games, but they want a shootout, and I think that's what's got everybody talking.
The key, though, for the 49ers last week was all those turnovers in the first half.
Yeah.
And
horrible defensive schemes that kept leaving Vernon Davis open.
Yeah, and it just felt the whole time. I kept saying, I kept texting my dad. I was telling a couple guys with him, I think the Saints are going to come back and steal this game.
Yeah.
And sure enough, when they threw that, the alley-oop to Jimmy Graham, the two defenders ran into each other, kind of Three Stooges style, and he breaks free for what looked like the game-winning touchdown. You're like, oh, my God, they stole it.
When San Fran scored, I thought they left New Orleans too much time. When New Orleans immediately scored, I did not think they left San Francisco too much time.
That was unbelievable. We left because I knew it was going to be a good finish, and we went from here to the Boneyard, which is kind of a stone's throw down the road, okay?
Sure.
And it was, and in that time, it was the Saints scored the go-ahead touchdown.
Yeah.
In just the short drive there, I was like, oh, geez, okay, the 49ers can get the ball back. It was too packed there, so we drive the other way to BW3's. Mm-hmm. In that drive, Alex Smith runs to give his team the lead.
Mm-hmm.
We walk in there to the local watering hole, and we see the Jimmy Graham touchdown I just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just – that was a great all-time finish.
Yeah.
A great all-time finish. Now, initially, the Giants would – I thought, especially after beating the Packers, impressive as they did – the Giants, I thought, would be such a popular pick that I initially leaned to the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the Giants just seem better, don't they? I mean, it's pretty close. In my power rankings, I've got them, right next to each other, neck and neck. So the Niners, the line is fair. The Niners deserve to be favored for the home field advantage. But doesn't it just seem like the Giants are just playing out of this world? I mean, I know it's trendy. I know we kind of made fun of it at the top.
Yeah.
I like the Giants to win.
Yeah, and
I just think the only thing – Jim Harbaugh has just done such a great coaching. I mean,
he has
his team believing. I mean, Coach of the Year, given that award, is almost an insult. I mean, it's like Coach of the Decade what this guy's done. It's just that at the end of the day, see, people are so so doubting towards Joe Flacco. I still kind of feel that way about Alex Smith.
I understand. But you know what? On the subject of Alex Smith, I told you off air I had an interesting analogy. 30 years ago, in the Bay Area, we saw an interesting situation with a quarterback. And here's what I'm looking at here, too. I think, I'm not passing judgment on this. I'm not saying that Alex Smith was unfairly doubted, nor am I saying that he is the Messiah now. I'm not casting judgment on his skill level, because I, like you, I'm still somewhat dubious about his ability to come through at this level. He's got to prove it over a longer period of time. But the guy that I'm talking about is Jim Plunkett. And what's interesting is that Alex Smith has always worn the same uniform, but he's every bit the vagabond that Jim Plunkett was, because I'd love to see like a time-lapse video of this. I'm picturing it in my mind of him standing still, and then in the background you just see all the press conferences and things happening. New head coaches, offensive coordinators, where they've had a lot of turnover since he first got there in 2005. And quite frankly, had he been a better quarterback, maybe there would have been a little bit less turnover there. Yeah. What's the chicken and what's the egg? But it's very interesting to me because I can't think of too many moderate to late, I'm not going to say late career, but this is what, 7 years in? It's getting late kind of
early. Yeah, he was drafted the same year as Rodgers.
Yeah,
obviously.
So exactly.
A pick
I mean,
that I once called, and I'm not afraid to come on this program and admit it.
Yeah.
I said going into this year that was the worst draft pick in NFL history. I said it was worse than Jamarcus Russell.
Wow.
Simply because Smith and Rodgers was considered a coin flip at number one in 04.
Yeah.
They predicted whichever guy didn't get picked by the Niners would plummet, because that year there was just not a lot of need at the quarterback. Teams were still a little leery of picking quarterbacks high back then. It's obviously a little different now. But they said that whoever didn't go number one was going to drop considerably. Now, Rodgers dropped a little more than anyone thought, I think.
Right.
But because Russell, everyone agreed, was the number one pick.
Right.
Now, everyone was just wrong.
What if the Chargers would have gone for Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning? Would that be worse than the Alex Smith one?
Yes. Okay. That's the equivalent.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
That would have been the equivalent. Yes.
Okay.
Because it was considered close at the time.
Okay.
Like now everyone's like, oh, you know, God, whew, how can you even consider that? That was a tough choice for the Colts. It's like, well, at the time, you know, people said it was.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we might laugh about it, but it's a thing here where Alex Smith, again, nobody does this. That's the reason I'm thinking of Jim Plunkett.
Yeah, but
think of how many people at this stage in their career have gone on at least a run this far. It's a short list.
Well, the thing with Plunkett, though, it was a little different because Plunkett was drafted to
New England,
and they were, those were some bad New England teams in the late 70s. He was the Heisman Trophy winner out of Stanford, obviously.
Right.
And you know, then he went to
another parallel.
Yeah, then he went to the Raiders, who obviously had a lot of talent, still,
right?
And that was a good team, you know, one of the top teams of the
reclamation 70s. Project. But Alex Smith's a reclamation project with the same team.
And that's the thing. Smith didn't switch teams. But and, you know, obviously, you know, we don't need to go into the X's and O's.
Sure.
There's been a lot of talk of Harbaugh simplify the playbook for him,
right?
And that's, you know, meant all the world. You know, Vernon Davis is obviously great. I'm not crazy about the receiving position with this team. Frank Gore. He has always been a big part of this offense. And then the defense, obviously, has been huge. The thing is, with the Niners, turnovers have been so big to this team this year, which has me thinking, look, the Niners, to me, if you were to ask me right now, what team will win less games in 2012 than they did 2011, my number one pick is the San Francisco 49ers. People say, how can you say that? This is a team on the rise, Jim Harbaugh. Well,
In a horrible division.
Yeah, keep in mind they won 13 games this year. Okay,
yeah.
That's difficult to repeat. So for them to win more, the same or more, you got to go 13-3 back-to-back years.
I agree they're not approaching 13.
So just simply based on numbers, it's not going to happen. But that turnover ratio they have this year, Ricky, and we saw it again last round against New Orleans where, the Saints had four first-half turnovers maybe?
Right.
That five for the game?
Right.
Look, I know, understand it keeps happening. They keep winning. But eventually the ball bounces the other way. If they don't get the turnovers, and remember the Packers were a big turnover team.
Yeah,
And they didn't get them. If Eli Manning doesn't throw interceptions in this game, I don't think the Niners win.
No, I agree with you. But I mean,
it's going to come down to turnovers because Eli has been, you know, captain turnover in the past. Last year led the league in interceptions.
The Giants have relied on it with their defense, too, with getting turnovers. But it's a thing where I've seen people say this week the Giants, they're the best balanced team left in the playoffs. That's the taller than Mickey Rooney award, because you look at San Francisco with their offense that they've had through the course of the year, and later in the year, particularly when Frank Gore got run down, how average they were. Baltimore, they're not all defense, and New England is all offense. Baltimore's not all defense, but it's kind of close. Nobody has balance, hardly, in this Final Four, which is amazing, because that's not generally the case. I think people have the sense, generally, do you have balance here? The Giants, how are they getting such a friggin' free pass? I know maybe not everybody was healthy. Oh, they have a great pass rush now. They got passed on for a good chunk of the regular season. They got
run on. Oh, their secondary's terrible. Their secondary's been terrible for 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting a pass from people. I just don't
get
this.
Yeah, the same thing of Drew Brees, and granted, Alex Smith is not Drew Brees.
Right.
Like, although he beat him last week.
Right.
I mean, they were carved up in that Monday night game. I think that was the game a lot of people gave up on the Giants.
Yes.
And you know, their running game was ranked, like, what, dead last in the regular season?
Yes.
So this one, again, if Eli Manning doesn't commit turnovers, then the Giants are going to win. I just think they're right now the Giants are better than the – now, I will say this. 49ers beat the Giants 27-20 in the regular season.
Yeah.
Eli Manning threw an interception, I believe, in the end zone, or he missed someone in the end zone. Bottom line is he was throwing into the end zone at the end of the game to try to tie that game and force an overtime. Didn't work out. Regular season rematches this year in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The team that won the regular season game, 3-1 straight up and against the number. Pardon me, 2-2 against the number, because Baltimore missed the cover by half a point last week. The Giants were the only team to successfully lose the regular season game, win the playoff rematch, what they did to the Packers last week.
Interesting. Well, and looking
at
this
year, but they were the only one who covered and where the point spread came into play in the regular season game.
And I understand, again, and I'll give the caveat that I know the Giants' defense is healthier now than it's been pretty much all year, but total defense, 27th in the league. Passing defense, 29th. Rushing defense, 19th. So if anybody says best balanced, okay, that's technically true, but you know what? That's a hipster point, actually. If you're going to tell me they're the best balanced team in the playoffs, like, that's supposed to mean something. They're the best balanced team that's left. It's technically true, but I don't attach a whole lot to it. I think you and I are looking at this like, if the Giants are going to win this game and go on and win the Super Bowl, or at least
they
be very competitive in it, that it will be we'll talk about that.
I think the AFC team is going to the Super Bowl, regardless.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to talk about that. That's going to be interesting. But I think we would agree, would we not, that if they have great success the rest of the way, it's going to be because Eli Manning and this offense remains supersonic. That's the scenario. It's not that, this shutdown defense that's completely impenetrable. No way. No way.
No,
that has not happened.
They haven't been. And by the way, here's the good thing if you're a Niners fan. I believe last year, the final four were, I believe, all ranked among the top five in least points allowed in the NFL. I'm going to check that right now. I'm very interested, because I remember at the beginning of the season, I said, for everyone who keeps saying that defense doesn't matter anymore, and I say that, and I say that sometimes, it came down to that. Give me a second. Just start saying just start saying interesting things, Ricky, and I'll get back.
Alrighty.
All right, I'll get back.
Give
me one side. You may not even need to do it, because I'm already there.
Pittsburgh and the Jets were the teams last year on the one side, and then on the NFC side, I'm trying to remember. Who did Green Bay play?
They played Chicago.
Chicago, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, listen
that's
to
right.
this, okay? Yeah. All right, here we go. I'm very quick here, okay?
Right.
And I'm a very smart man, Rick Morris.
Yes,
okay,
you are.
All right.
You certainly
are. Yes, okay. The Jets were number five last year.
Yeah.
Let me get the toilet paper on my mouth, Ricky.
Okay.
Okay. All four conference finalists last year ranked in the top five in least points allowed.
Okay.
The one team that didn't make it was Baltimore, who lost to Pittsburgh in the round previous.
Right.
So let's fast forward to this year. Okay, and take a look here.
You have both Harbaugh teams that are representative of that trend
of
the
year. That's
ago.
What I'm saying. So San Francisco is by far and away number one in least points allowed, I think. I mean, they gave up only 229. I mean, let me put that into perspective. That was 100 less points. Oh, my God, I was looking at the wrong team. That's 171 less points than the Giants gave. The Giants gave up 400. Points. Okay, so everyone once again wants to talk about that balance. They gave up 400 points
Right.
Here were the only teams in the NFC that gave up more than 400 points during the regular season. Minnesota, they stink. Tampa Bay, they stink. Carolina, you know, love Cam Newton, but, you know, they were a 1-15 team 2 years ago. They're not very good. And St. Louis.
So for anybody that makes that hipster point about the Giants and their balance.
I'll be honest, I'm sort of talking myself into the Niners here.
I'm still not swayed on this, but here's my – and it may sound like I am, but I'm not. But here's my point. All you're saying is that the Giants' defense is better than the San Francisco offense, the Baltimore offense, and the New England defense. That's all you're saying when you say that. Is that it's the fifth best unit in the playoffs if you're looking at remaining, if you're looking at the respective offenses and defenses. That's all you're saying when you say that. It ain't saying that much. Again, as I sit here and bash the Giants, I am actually picking them.
Oh, you are now.
I am.
I've heard it all now.
I am. As much as I bemoan, and look, part of me is an elitist. I don't like a 15-1 team going down to the hot team. It really devalues the regular season, the sanctity of the regular season.
So I don't want to ever hear you talk about a college football playoff then after you said that.
That's as good as gold. I just argued the other day on a segment with Chris Galloway where I was talking about the plus one. And he was kind of parodying me. Well, I guess you think it should be Green Bay, New Orleans, New England, and Baltimore. And I'm like, you know what?
What's wrong with that?
I would take that over what we have, actually.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Sometimes I don't like – it's kind of the funny thing with the NCAA tournament. Everyone loves upsets until they have to watch the next game.
Yeah.
You know, and no one's interested anymore because the big programs are out.
Yeah.
So
– I mean, the Giants and I
– I got to take the points, though, because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think – the thing is, in a game like this, when do you think the underdog can win? Yeah. Why would you not take the points?
Yeah. But
Three's kind of jet.
Oh, they're a total live dog, but it's a thing where – When you look at this here, and I don't remember, I would credit specifically who this was if I remember who it was, but I read some columnist on the internet saying this isn't the Giants aren't the Giants of 07, they're the Packers of 2010, and they really kind of are. It may be splitting hairs to make a distinction because they did the same thing. They got hot at the right moment or whatever, but they're very reminiscent of what Green Bay did last year.
Yeah, they are. That's a good point.
And that, again, you know, the record is not indicative of what they're doing right now and how good they are right now and how hot they are. And, you know, and again, I was wrong about them last week, but I've been on Green Bay all year. I picked Green Bay to win the Super Bowl before the season, as did you.
I didn't think the Giants would win the game outright. Again, I liked them plus the points. I thought way too many points they were getting for a hot team like that. And, again, it's the same thing. I'll back the Giants, but, you know, I'm not – I kind of talked myself into San Francisco during that segment a little bit.
I'm gonna say Giants. I'm gonna say 23-19. I think it's gonna be pretty close. I think they're gonna win outright. I think Manning is gonna give just enough in the way of offense.
Storyline man that I am. Mm-hmm. I either want it to be Giants, Patriots, or Baltimore, San Francisco.
I don't want a mixed match. God, make it stop. I don't want Baltimore, San Francisco.
Why?
2 weeks of Harbaugh soap opera.
Oh, I would love it. Let's bring Tom Crean in to mediate this situation. By God, will the family be torn apart forever? What? will they ever be the same? Could there ever be a reconciliation? Oh, I could live off that.
I'm gonna throw a brick through my TV 2 days into Super Bowl up here.
Let's learn about their upbringing. How did they get along in middle school? Who did mom prefer?
Oh, somebody make it stop. Oh, I'm picturing it right now, and it's not a pretty sight. I do not want any of that sports entertainment crap.
Oh, I do.
I don't want any of that.
I do.
Now, Giants-Patriots,
that'd be very good, 4 years ago.
Yeah,
that'd be, you know, the Patriots, do they get their chance at redemption? It could be that elite fourth ring.
Right.
You know, I mean, four is kind of the dynasty number.
The only other time was 4 years ago when this happened. And I remember it's very eerie. I tweeted on Sunday, Eli Manning, boy, the most unstoppable quarterback in the world after the New Hampshire primary. Apparently, you know, that's like what it takes to get this guy going.
Yes, who knew?
I'm not saying cause and effect, but then again, maybe I am. But it's, you know, that would be very interesting.
Maybe he plays better knowing there's a world where Michelle Bachmann can never be president. Maybe that has something to do with it.
You know, those two teams coming back together, again, don't forget to, you know, if you
I got to go on a limb. It's going to be... I think it will be the Patriots getting their revenge, beating the Giants in the Super Bowl. That's my pick.
As much as I sit here and bemoan the media saying that the Giants are better balanced. They are better balanced than New England because New England's defense sucks. I don't think a defense like that can win a Super Bowl. So I would say probably like 34-27 Giants just off the top of my head.
You think the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl?
At this point, I do. And I haven't picked them to win a game in the playoffs. I picked the Falcons. I picked Matty Ice to rise up 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I can't wait to light Matty Ice up during our next segment. I can't wait to light up your boy Matty Ice.
I picked the Patriots, I picked the Packers, I should say, last week. I've not picked the Giants yet, but the Giants.
I picked Dallas to beat them in the regular season finale.
The Giants are the great, for as much as everybody's talking about right now, this whole thing with Chris Jericho trolling the fans. The Giants are the ultimate troll team. They are just, the last couple of years, if you pick them, they will go into the fetal position.
Yes.
And if you ignore them, as I have here, and I didn't, this is the first time I didn't make them to make a deep playoff run in the last couple of years, and they finally go on one. The Giants are contrarian trolls. Does everybody like us? Let's underachieve. Counting us out? Let's go win.
Yeah, but last week it seemed like they were so trendy. By the end of the week, I was almost kind of scared that they became too trendy. But
They were. That reminds me of, I think it was the summer of 97, and fellow FDH Lounge dignitary Bob Benek proclaiming Joey Kent the overrated sleeper of the fantasy football season. The Giants were like the overrated sleeper by the end of the week because everybody was out there in their black berets and, you think these Packers are the team here. Yeah. You've probably never heard of the Giants, that kind of crap. But, again, I'll say the Giants will win this week. And so you think the Patriots would beat them in a Super Bowl then?
I think the AFC team's going to win.
Okay.
I like the AFC.
All right, now what
by the way, hold on here. Now remember when I wanted you to say something interesting before?
Yeah.
Try to do that. I'm gonna do something because I'm gonna give a little Vegas style breakdown here. I think there are lines available, to be honest with you, for all the potential Super Bowl matchups.
I'm gonna try and guess them if that is the case.
Okay, well, say something interesting. What's coming up later? What's coming up in the coming weeks on the FDH Lounge? Give me one second here
find this. We've got some other great stuff coming up here. Kenny Albert, we're hoping to get him back on sometime soon here. I do know that probably later this week, Robert Flores of the Worldwide League. Will be joining us in the FDH Lounge. I believe we have that one locked down. I want to go back, though, and make a point on this. There is another possible Super Bowl rematch here as well, that if it's not Harbaugh v. Harbaugh, the only team that the
Baltimore
Ravens have ever played in the Super Bowl was the Giants.
That's not that interesting.
And it would be the third Baltimore-New York Super Bowl. You have the Ravens-Giants one, and then you go back to – you're going to see a lot of Broadway Joe on your TV sets here, the Colts
v. Jets.
I just
want to kiss you.
Yeah. Hey, is it Pam Oliver working the sidelines? Who could blame him?
I can't find this, Ricky. I'm getting old.
Whenever the haters troll on Pam during the playoffs here, she trends on Twitter and people are bitching about her weave. Let me tell you something. Pam Oliver is fine, fine, fine.
Oh, I've heard it all now.
I'm a crack-ass cracker, and I'm saying that. Absolutely.
God, I wish I could find this thing because I definitely – okay, hold on one second.
Okay.
I think I may have found this.
That's just
absolute late. All right, yep, I found it.
Okay, all right. So you got that there, the odds for all four possibilities?
Yeah, here we go. All right. This is interesting here. This shows you the power of the Packers.
Okay.
Remember I said I like the AFC? Because
Before
this past weekend,
uh-huh.
I'll give a shout-out to RJ Bell of pregame.com, by the way, who I know. The NFC was favored by 4 over the – like you could bet on – without the exact – knowing the exact Super Bowl matchup.
Right.
You could go to Vegas or offshore, so the places that have them, mm-hmm. and say, I am betting the NFC champion over the AFC champion.
Okay.
You would have had to lay 4.
Okay.
Now that the Packers are out – that's flipped. The AFC is now favored by 4 over.
It flipped 8 points total?
That shows you how much they were believing.
Holy crap.
Yes. Now, I don't have the exact lines that they would be.
Let me ask you this. How much would it have flipped if the Saints were still in it but not the Packers? Half that maybe? Does it go to a pick? I'm going to say split the difference if it's the Saints.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably. Because now here's the different scenarios.
Okay.
These are all based on $100 bets.
Okay.
Okay. If you like the Patriots to beat the 49ers.
Okay.
That's the smallest return on investment. And $100 bet would yield you $220 in winnings.
Okay.
Okay. Patriots over Giants, which you and I have well that's what I like.
That's
plus +350, second best odds. 49ers over Patriots is plus 500.
Okay.
Giants over Patriots is what you like, plus 600, Ricky. So if you got $100,
really?
There you go. You'll leave $600 richer.
So I take it that you got to get these in before Championship Sunday,
yes,
though.
Yes,
okay.
All these, yes,
all
yes,
right.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay.
Ravens over Niners, not exactly one that a lot of people are picking, I think, but there you go. My God, who did Mrs. Harbaugh favor in middle school? That would be plus 1,000.
Really?
So that scenario, same with 49ers over Ravens is plus 1,000. And then
okay.
The two underdogs this weekend, if you like Ravens over Giants or Giants over Ravens, regardless of result, that's a plus 1,200 result. If,
wow.
If you like that. So you talk about the one Baltimore Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah.
That's plus 1,200. So
yeah.
not likely, you know. It seems to me that the Patriots are certainly, you know, Vegas obviously thinks the Patriots are going to get there. The other one? A little bit more of a coin flip.
Okay.
And it obviously speaks to the fact that the AFC is a 4-point favorite over the NFC.
Yeah. Well, that is truly breathtaking that would be an 8-point swing on that. I don't know that I've heard of too many instances of one team swinging it quite like that. But so you're saying Patriots over Giants in the Super Bowl. I'm saying Giants over Patriots. All right. So we're both
thinking the same two teams.
Here.
Yeah.
By the way, too, as far as
so, look for the Ravens and Niners to win. By the way,
as far as by the way, there's one more insipid media storyline regarding brothers. If that is the matchup, do you know? Or let's just say if one of those two teams makes it there, the Giants and Eli playing in Peyton's building.
Oh yeah,
well, Peyton's in limbo.
Yeah.
He's hanging by a thread. You know, he's got a. You know,
that'll be mentioned. I don't think. Yeah,
right.
Who knows? That could be beaten. By the way, we should have known the Colts were going to stink this year. I, by the way, picked them not to make the playoffs. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
But we should have known they would really stink this year because teams every year's is this going to be? Remember Jerry Jones was so big. Oh,
right.
The Super Bowl's in Jerry. Well, we're going to get it this year. It never happened. And there's only a couple teams that it ever applies to. One of them's, you know, usually the Cardinals,
right,
who stink traditionally. And then Miami's has never done it.
Right.
But we should have known that coming. We
probably should have known, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there'll probably be some media attention, too, to New England coming to Indianapolis's building. That was, you know, the great rivalry of the last decade in football. So there'll probably be a little bit of attention paid to that. But I'll leave you with this here, Kyle. That if I'm right, if it's Giants over Patriots at night, or even Giants over Ravens, I'm predicting right now on Archie Manning's Twitter account, he's going to be saying, "This is the greatest day of my life." But don't get me wrong, I'm still ashamed of Cooper.